I'm very excited today to have Paul Patterson on the show. Paul owns and operates an escape room out of Girard, Ohio, called Still Valley Nightmare and Escape. The story you're about to hear is true and very intense. Okay, today I'm excited to have Paul Patterson on the show. He's got a ghost story that he submitted that I think, and he's going to tell the story himself. I think you'll really be interested in this one. I've been asking for ghost stories for quite a while, and I've been getting quite a bit, but nobody wants to actually come on and talk about it. Paul's the first one who wants to do this, and that's cool. Okay, Paul, how you doing?
Not bad, you?
Doing good. Yeah, really good. I hear you have a business.
I do. It's called Still Valley Nightmare and Escape. It's an escape room. It's a facility, so it's a multi-room escape, and it's horror-themed. And currently, the theme that I'm running right now is based off the story I'm about to tell.
Okay, you want to tell us about the story?
Sure. So, the name of my escape is called Escape 817. And 817 is the house address of my childhood home. So childhood home is out in the country. My grandmother purchased the home back in the 50s. I was born in 77, and growing up in the house, the house was set up weird to begin with. It was structurally built weird, and it was just creepy, eerie, everything about it. Right. So, but my earliest childhood memories in the home, like lights would come off and on their own in the bedrooms. The heat would constantly get cranked. I can remember one time my grandmother had one of those old ceramic clocks that was of the Last Supper. And she was doing spring cleaning, and she went to take the clock down to change the batteries, and there was no batteries in it. So it had been working all that time with no batteries. Creepy stuff like that.
Yeah, that's creepy to start with.
I've heard stories about things from the 50s to 77 when I was born. But what I witnessed myself, lights would turn off and on their own. And when you weren't in the room, and not like over the headlights, I'm talking like desktop lamps, like you have to push the switch. The heat would always get cranked up. You could go in the living room, turn the heat down. 2 minutes later, it's turned all the way back up again. A couple other weird things, too. The house actually caught on fire 3 times. The first 2 times, the house was remodelable. The last time, it burnt to the ground. So they ended up building a new home on the property.
Where was this at again?
This is in Braceville, Ohio. But those little things were innocent compared to the things that were about to take place in the house. So in the original house, I can remember being young. The VCR had just came out. And my grandmother would go to mom and pop shops and rent up a bunch of horror movies and then take them home, and we'd watch them, and she'd copy them. And I can remember one night we were watching movies, and I fell asleep on the floor. My grandmother, she never slept in her bedroom. She always slept on the couch. My grandfather always slept in the bedroom. When I was young, I thought it was because it was like an older generational kind of thing. Later on, I found out that wasn't the case, and I'll get to that. But we were watching movies, and I had fallen asleep, and I woke up. Something woke me up in the middle of the night, and I could see one light coming across the ceiling from the kitchen, and I heard something. So I sat up, and I'm looking, and something walked across the light, like it got black. And then the next thing I knew, my grandmother had flung her leg over me and had a hold of my pant leg with one hand. And with the other hand, She had a pillowcase lifted. She was trying to pull a pillow off of her face. I was terrified. I think I was like 5 years old at the time. I pried my leg out of her hand, and I ran to the other side of the house to get my aunt. And she came out, and just as she went to grab my grandmother, she pulled the pillow off of her face. She thought somebody had broken the house and was trying to kill her. So that was the first time that I seen something malicious.
Now, do you think your grandmother knew that the house was haunted? Or?
Yes. My grandmother used to talk to it. She would call it Charlie. She would say, "Oh, Charlie's not going to hurt you. Charlie don't mean no harm. Charlie's nice." But from there, it started doing things like, so in the beginning, like if you went to the bathroom and you peed in the toilet and you didn't flush and you like walked over and started brushing your teeth, it would flush the toilet, you know, and my grandmother would say, "Oh, thanks, Charlie." But then it went from it flushing the toilet to you'd be standing there going to the bathroom and it would literally yank you backwards.
Wow.
It would pull you out of from where you were standing. And then it felt like the best way I can describe it. It felt like an elephant sitting on you. Like you could be sitting in a sofa or in the kitchen. It didn't matter where you were sitting all at once. Like you couldn't breathe. It felt like a million pounds sitting on your chest. And sometimes it would last 10 seconds. Sometimes it felt like it lasted for minutes.
So as a child, you witnessed all this from growing up.
Yes. I'll be honest. When the house burnt down, I was ecstatic. The house was L-shaped. So you went down this long hallway to get to the back. There was nothing in that hallway except corkboard, and the corkboard slid. It was a closet, right? And it was a long hallway. And when you got to the back of that hallway, you hit another little hallway and you took it. And then that took you to two rooms. There was a bathroom and my bedroom. So I was at the furthest point of the house away from everybody else. And I absolutely hated it back there. So when the house burned down, they decided to rebuild on the property. And at first it wasn't too bad. When they got the house up, it was quiet. It was almost like they left. But then the first summer we were in the house, I had some friends come over and we were going to do a camp out in the field back by the woods of the house. And it was still there, but it was weird. It was like, it was outside, just not inside. You know, it literally shook the tent and we thought my dad was messing with us. So I opened up the zipper on it and I popped my head out to scare my dad, but there was nobody there. And like, I sat back in the tent and I'm looking at my friends and like, they were kind of familiar with what was going on there. They knew that the inside of the house was creepy. They had experienced things in the house, the old house. And, all at once, something grabbed the tent with three. There was three of us in it, and it drug us probably about 20 feet across the yard, like in a fast motion. We all ended up in the house, and we all slept on the kitchen floor. and we would hear things outside. So when you sat in the kitchen, it was all bay windows that surrounded the kitchen, and you would hear whispering, and you would hear talking, and it would sound like somebody dumped bags of rocks on the roof, like. One time we were outside and we were getting ready to leave and getting in the van, and my grandmother sneezed and you heard a woman say, "God bless you." It was just me and my grandmother. There was no woman. The day that it came into the house, it let it be known. It was very loud and in our face when it happened. It was probably about 11:30 at night. We were all sitting in the living room because we were, as if the whole family lived in this house. So it was my grandmother, my grandfather, my mom, my dad, my siblings, my aunt, and my cousin.
Everybody lived in the house?
Yeah, we all lived there. One night my aunt had came in while we were all sitting in the living room watching TV. And when you came in, there was the outside back door, and then there was a breezeway and then another door. So she came in through the back door, came through the breezeway, came into the door into the house, and she's standing in the hallway and she's talking to us. All at once, you heard the handle turn to the door she had just came in, and it went to open like real slow, and my aunt grabbed it. My aunt she's a big woman. She is not tiny. She grabbed this handle and was fighting with the door to keep it closed. It was pulling her forward. She was bouncing off of the wall. My dad jumped up and ran to the gun cabinet, grabbed the 12 gauge, got to the door, told my aunt to let go of it. She let go of it. There was no one on the other side. The door was still locked going outside. Nobody was in there. And from that moment on, it was complete and total utter chaos. It was insane.
So everybody in the house witnessed this? Was just yes. A few people?
No, the entire house. It had a gloom on us. When we were in that house, none of us got along. Particularly the males. The males were angry all the time. But we could leave and go out to eat, or we would leave and go on like a little mini vacation, and spirits were completely different. Like everybody got along, everybody laughed, everybody. But as soon as we got back in that house, it was almost instant that we had just at one another's throats. In addition to that, the lights started turning off and on again. This time, though, and maybe it was because I was younger and I just didn't notice it. And now at this point, I'm older. I'm 14, 15 years old. Objects are moving in the house. I can't begin to tell you how many things we took out of the house and just threw away or burned or destroyed. It was all irrelevant because it wasn't the object. It was the house. If we got rid of one thing, something else would start moving. I can remember my grandmother had this clown and it hung in a swing above our kitchen sink. So we're sitting at the kitchen table and we hear knocking on the glass and it's dark out so you can't see. And it's got our attention and we're looking and we go to walk into the kitchen to look out the kitchen window. And all at once, this clown just starts swinging back and forth like profusely. You would do things like walk into. So there was a big bathroom, but you had to go through a master bedroom to get to it. There was one specific time that I can recall. It was getting close to Christmas and my mother wanted to show me and my grandmother some gifts she had bought for my children. And so we go into through the bedroom, and when we did, she had these two porcelain dolls that were sitting on the floor next to her dresser. When we walked in and went into the bathroom, we happened to look out the bathroom, and we could see that their heads were facing us. They were head-on dolls. So my grandmother picked them up because my mom was threatening to throw them away, and she threw them on her bed. And she goes back into the bathroom, shuts the door. And when we open up the door to come back out, the dolls had gotten, they were moved from the bed back on the floor in the position looking straight ahead again. Creepy stuff like that. Yeah. The house was actually a breaking point for me. I moved out of the house specifically because of what was going on in the house. I had started dating a girl. And it was like we had literally just started talking. And... This predates cell phones. She calls me and she's like, I'm gonna stop by. And I'm like, okay. So she comes over my house and I see her out my bay windows. I see her come up my driveway, but she doesn't get out of her car. And I walk out and she doesn't get out of her car. She kind of rolls her window halfway down. And I'm like, what are you doing? You're gonna come in? And she was like, I can't stay. I'm like, you drove all the way here. Is there something wrong? And she was like, no, I need to go home. She was like, I'll get out. I'll talk for a minute, but I'm not going to go inside. So she went on my back porch and she sat on my swing for 2 minutes and talked to me. And then she went home. And I was telling my family, man, that was weird. And the phone rings 15, 20 minutes later and it's her. And she's like, you don't know me very well. And you're probably never going to want to talk to me again. She's like, but I can never come to your house again. And I'm like, why? What's wrong? She was like, there's something wrong with that house. She was like, your house scares me. You should be scared. And she was hypersensitive. And I'm like, no, it's okay. I get it. I understand. It's fine. I don't think you're weird, you know. But when I started talking to her, for whatever reason, it singled certain people out in the house. It did things in front of everybody. But as far as physical contact went, there was, admittedly, there's only been three of us in the house that it had physically touched. So I'm 16 years old and literally I'm terrified of my bedroom. And I even shared it. I shared a bedroom with my brother and my cousin. They were on bunk beds on one side of the room and I had a bed on the other side of the room. And I'm 16 years old and I'm running and jumping to get into my bed because I'm afraid if I get too close to it, something's going to pull me under it. Because it would touch me. I would go to bed at night, and just when you're at that point where you're ready to doze off, it would put its fingers between my toes. If I put my socks on, it would pull my sock off, and the next thing I would know, I would feel it putting its fingers between my toes. I'm just calling it fingers because that's what it felt. I went from a hard sleeper. Like I wouldn't move. When I fell asleep, the position I fell asleep in was the position I woke up in, to my mattress being halfway on the floor, all the blankets being ripped off of me. I had shelving around my bed I had to take down, because every night, if it didn't touch my feet, it would literally knock the entire shelf off the wall on top of me and wake me up out of a dead sleep. It got to the point by the time I was 17 years old where I would not sleep at night. I would stay up all night long and sleep the sun away just because I was afraid of the house in the dark.
Was it ever violent?
Yep. There was one time where I was trying to restore a treehouse my uncle had built when he was a child. And the treehouse was knocked on top of me. Like, I was not standing under it. I was standing 15 feet away from it. So it was like it was pushed out of the tree, not fall. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My grandmother had a strict policy, right? Because by this point, she had some people from the church come in. Because, you know, she was getting so much slack about it. And they pretty much told her she wasn't dealing with a spirit. She was dealing with Legion, and they were not going nowhere. And they recommended that maybe she go somewhere. And she was like, this is my house. I've been here since the 50s. We ain't going nowhere. We found out some things. Like, my grandmother came clean and she said, you know, the two previous owners had died there in the house. That's why my grandmother never slept in bed with my grandfather. The woman who had lived in it prior to them passed away in that bedroom, and the bed that she passed away in was still in that bedroom when they bought the house, and my grandfather refused to get rid of it. So my grandmother said every night, come 3:03 in the morning, the bed would literally freeze. It would freeze her out of the bed. And one night she woke up and she could see her own breath, and she had that feeling where something was sitting on her chest. She never slept in the bed again. So my grandfather slept in it every night by himself. And there was also a man who, story goes, they found him in the backyard. He had drowned face first in a puddle in the backyard. That was the owner prior to her. So the house itself, I moved out. I had an experience there one night. I was 17 years old. It was one of those things, because I was at that point, like I said, I'd stay up all night, sleep all day. So again, this predated cell phones. I mean, they were out, but they were expensive. They weren't common. I was waiting for a buddy to come pick me up. It was probably about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was watching some garbage TV, and all at once, the TV went black. There was a lamp that was on behind my head. It went black, and it felt like something was on me, in front of me, towering over me, and it terrified me. It terrified me. I got up. All at once, the TV came on, the light came on over my head, and I could move. And I got up, and I ran out the house, ran down the driveway. It felt like it chased me all the way down the driveway. And I stood out in the middle of the road. I waited for my buddy to pick me up, and he got there. I called the house the next morning and was like, I'm not coming back. You know, like, I literally made my family pack me a couple suitcases and put them at the end of the drive. I wouldn't even go in the house to get the stuff. After that, I really didn't go back to the house. I was there two times. Both times I was there during the day.
So once you moved out, I mean, you've had nothing follow you to your new place,
absolutely.
Right?
So I move out. First of all, that home is no longer in our family. My grandmother passed away, and when she did, my parents got rid of the house. Since then, it's had multiple people in and out. Not the people who live there now, but people previous. I was driving by one day and I stopped, and I stayed at the end of the drive. I was kind of admiring what they had done to the property. A woman comes out from around the side of the shed and she spotted me, and I didn't want to freak her out and just take off. So I stuck my hand out the window and I waved at her, and she walked up and she's like, can I help you? And I told her, I'm like, well, I grew up, this is my childhood home. I was just admiring the work that's been done to it. And she was like, really, you grew up here? What can you tell me about this place? And, well, what do you want to know? But yeah, when I left, something absolutely did come with me.
The only reason I ask is because I do quite a bit of these. They can follow you. You know, they can get on you. They say, like, carry you on your...
Sure.
You carry them on your back to the next location.
It was kind of like this. This is what I've learned over the years. If I'm somewhere where there's other energy, it rears its head. If there's not other energy there, sometimes, like, I know it's there, but it's not like it used to be. It's not like... Whatever it is that came with me, it's not the malevolent thing that used to pick at my feet. It's not the thing that used to knock shelves on my head or sit on my chest. It's nothing like that. But there is something that has been with me my entire life. I believe it came from there. It doesn't matter where I go. It could be anything from a gypsy palm reading to literally walking into a church and somebody's going to tell me that I have an aura and that there's something attached to me, and that some say it's not bad. Some say it's not good. Some say they're all bad. There's no such thing as good. The only thing I can say is today it doesn't bother me, and I don't bother it. I think that's the key. I've learned some things over the years that I've come to believe to be true. And that is, when you acknowledge it and you name it and you make it an entity, that's exactly what it becomes. So I try to avoid doing that if at all possible. When I had moved out of that house, it wasn't the next house I moved into. It was some years down the road. They were still in that house, my family, though. And we had moved into an apartment in McDonald. And at the time, I had a 5-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old son, and I started hearing them in the middle of the night. Like, I'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and my daughter would be sitting in the hallway talking to somebody. And I'm like, you know, who are you talking to? And she would say, I'm talking to the little girl. And I'm like, go to bed. I just wrote it off and was like, you're sleepwalking, go to bed. And this kept continually happening. And I was going through some old stuff that I had in crates. And one of the things that I had found was a baby doll that came out of that house, the house I grew up in. It was one of the ones that my mom demanded we threw out. And I don't even know why I had it, but I did. And when I discovered it and started looking at it and telling stories about it, instantly things started happening to me. Like, you know, people running up and down the steps on the side of the house, but there's nobody out there. And my friends had witnessed it, like coming over and family members. And this thing continually kept happening with my kids talking about this little girl. And one day we were outside having a cookout and the neighbors on the other side of the duplex came out. And I was talking to my family about what my kids were doing. And the woman next door was like, oh, she was like, yeah, you know that a girl died in our complex, right? And I'm like, no. There was 4 apartments in it, 2 downstairs and 2 upstairs. And she was like, yeah, she was like, it didn't happen in yours. She was like, it happened in ours. She was like, a young girl was stabbed to death in here. And I'm like, what? And you know, so I'm talking about it one day and my kids are like, don't talk about her. She don't like you, Daddy. And I'm like, oh. Okay, so we moved. Not specifically because of that, but when we moved, it all stopped. My kids quit talking to the girl that wasn't there. They don't even remember it, and it happened for like a year and a half straight.
A lot of times they say with a spirit in a house like that, it's usually somebody previously had died a violent or unexpected death. Their spirit is still there. A lot of Native American Indian spirits, because something was built over top of their graves. Native American Indians, I mean, that's probably the most haunted places in the United States are museums and churches and everything else built over top of these graves. Have you ever had the house blessed?
Yes, that was when they came in from the church. There was actually... So the first church that came, they literally didn't even come into the house. They were just out on the property. And we're like, this is too big for us. They literally went and got 2 other pastors from 2 other churches and congregation from their church. So there was a total of 3 churches in their congregation that had came and tried to bless the home. And that's when they were like, they ain't going nowhere.
A lot of these churches don't even preach about spirits, demons, or anything like that in church, because people are taught from a young age, you know, that you're afraid of demons, like they're, you know, stay away from it. So I just wonder if that house was demonic.
I believe it was.
Something there to call a higher evil spirit, the devil.
I believe it.
You know, because basically it didn't care less who was in the house.
No, and when the churches came through and tried to bless the home, and I don't know what their experience was. None of us was with them when they were doing what they were doing. I know that, you know, there was a whole bunch of people outside, a whole bunch of people inside. What they experienced, I don't know. They didn't share. They just said, so I'm not sure what their experience was. They did not share that with us. They just pretty much said that we weren't dealing with a ghost or a spirit. We were dealing with a legion. And then they kind of finger-shamed my grandmother and told her all the mistakes that she had made, and that she pretty much brought it all on herself.
Who else is still around from that house?
My sister, my brother, my cousin, my aunt, and my parents. My grandparents have both passed away, but everybody else is still around. It has definitely touched all of our lives, I can tell you that. My brother is also, he's in the horror industry, and like myself. And I feel like the house we grew up in and the environment we grew up in built us for that. As far as him experiencing things, he does. I'm not sure that it's directly because of that house. He lives in North Carolina. My sister and my cousin are both really big into paranormal investigations. They go out and do probably 3 or 4 investigations a month. And, you know, my sister is always talking about stuff happening to her. And my cousin off and on will mention some things. But again, I'm not sure that it's directly because of the house that they experience the things that they do. It could be. I mean, if something is latched on to me, it's not far-fetched to think that something's latched on to them. But as far as, the personal attacks and physical touching, it really only happened to me, my aunt, and my grandmother. My dad, too. It pulled him from the toilet a couple times. But as far as, you know, like, sitting on you and, like, taunting you while you were trying to sleep, or in my grandmother's case, putting a pillow over her head. So that escape room that I have, it is a combination of two things. It's a combination of the house that I grew up in. A lot of it set-wise is designed to look like that house. A lot of the spoofs that are in it are spoofs that happened in that house. And a combination with that, you start off in one room and you solve riddles and puzzles to try to make it to the next room, and eventually escape the entire house within a certain time frame. But it's done up very horror-like. So it has the same. When I put it together, I tried to imagine like what the house would look like if it was abandoned. So it looks tattered and torn, but set up similar to how the original house was. And I had this reoccurring dream that started when I was probably about 4 years old. And I've had it multiple times throughout my life. And in the dream, I would dream about, because this would happen, where we'd be sitting in the house and it would sound like hundreds of stones being thrown at the house, like hitting the roof. And you would hear baby cry. So in my dream, you would hear the stones hitting the roof. You would hear the baby cry. And we would go outside. There used to be, in the original house, there used to be this homemade platform that sat up underneath of our door to step up onto. It was a pretty big platform. It was like a, I don't know, probably like an 8x10. And it came about a foot up off the ground. But in the dream, we pull this thing out away from the house, and everybody starts digging, and we find a woman with her child buried underneath of that porch. And I've had that dream time and time and time and time again. So I've created this house, and I put this woman in this house. She's a character in it.
Have you ever wondered if maybe a woman or something that's buried under somewhere in that house?
My entire life.
Usually something is, something happened to keep them there. Usually you find out later that there's somebody died in that house, that the body left, but the spirit's still there. But that's very interesting. Well, thank you for sharing that with me today.
Thank you for listening.
I do want to thank Paul Patterson for being on the show tonight and sharing his story. If you have a story to share, you can contact me at cooley54@gmail.com. All links are at the bottom of this podcast. I will have my listings on there to where you can catch Ghost in the Valley, catch out Paul's Facebook page, and also his Instagram page at Still Valley Nightmare and Escape. It is located at 160 Trumbull Avenue, Girard, Ohio. Book your spot. There's plenty of hotels in the area, restaurants, there's a mall. If you like escape rooms, you will love Still Valley Nightmare and Escape. So thank you, Paul, and we will see you in another 2 weeks with another great episode of Ghosts in the Valley.